Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 587. Come, whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend, sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. 587. Continue our reading where we concluded this morning, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 13. Numbers chapter 14, commencing at verse 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which had murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and get them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, now we do need thee now to come and to make one with us as we gather in thy court. O Lord, it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And oh, we would pray as those of old did, as they came to Emmaus, that thou would abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray that we may know a little what they sweetly experienced, for thou didst go in and abide with them. Oh, do come, dear Lord, where we each are this evening, for thou knowest the down sittings and the uprisings of each heart. And thou knowest, Lord, the pathways that thy dear people walk in. And oh, we do pray that thou wilt draw near to them and favour them to feel thy light and thy direction and thy help in the journey. And, oh Lord, as we come as sinners. We've nothing to bring of ourselves, but oh, may we come begging and pleading for mercy. One of old said, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. O Lord, as we come with all our sin and guilt and filthy rags, our vileness, Lord, there is within. Oh, we pray thou wilt create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And oh, that we may be at thy dear feet, humbly confessing our many, many sins, and begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we pray for thy precious blood to be applied to us, Lord, that we may know its sweet cleansing power and all the mountains of sin and guilt be removed, and the sweet peace of Calvary fill our souls. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thy heavenly guidance in all things, both in providence and in grace. We would pray with the dear psalmist, guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And O Lord, how we need thee to give us that grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. One said, let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine. But while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Oh, do help us, Lord, continually to fall into thy kind arms and be submissive to thy mind and thy will. Oh, how we need thee continually to unfold thy will to us, Lord. Leave us not to our own will, but oh, to pray as thou didst teach thy dear disciples. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And oh, Lord, we would seek for thee to prepare us for thy will in all things, and prepare us for the great day of death and of our departing. We solemnly realise as we gather, we come toward the close of another year of our short lives has passed, and our eternity is before. Oh, do prepare us for that great day when flesh and blood shall fail and we shall launch in worlds unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Oh, that we may be found among thy dear chosen redeemed children, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And oh, may it please thee, dear Lord, to assure us that we're among thy people. We would pray with the dear hymn writer, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Oh, do give us that religion, Lord, that us give to thy children. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God, and have an aching void which this world can never fill. Oh, may we be found in that narrow way, be given that eye of faith to look wholly to a precious Jesus. And Lord, do save us from ourselves, and save us from this world, and save us, Lord, from all our sin. Oh, that we may be amongst those that are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, do give us faith, Lord, to believe. We so often plague with unbelief. But oh, may we have that religion that is given to dear Joshua and to Caleb, and that we may have that faith given that thou didst give to them, and that our eyes might look right on and our eyelids straight before us. Who help us, Lord, to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, do give us, Lord, that singleness of eye to look wholly to a precious Christ. And, O Lord, may we know more and more of thy preciousness thy suitability. And may we be truly humbled in the dust and be as nothing, that the dear Lord Jesus may be to us each the one thing that is needful. Lord, do hold us up and hold us on. How we need thee continually to hold us up, Lord, much to make us sink, much to cause us sorrow. But oh, that thou wouldst hold us up and hold us on in that narrow way. Lord, do confirm thy word to us. And we need, Lord, those heavenly confirmations. Oh, that thou wouldst confirm our souls as thou didst those in the Acts of the Apostles. And may we know those heavenly confirmations of thy promises and thy word. And dear Lord, we seek for grace that we may endure to the end, that we may hold on our way. And oh, that thy grace may abound in many. May there be the aboundings of thy grace in each one here. And that the grace may triumphant reign, and Christ exalted be. Sinners deserve in endless pain thy great salvation see. Do work mightily in any that as yet know thee not. May there be those born again, Lord. May there be a bringing in of those in this village, if it's thy holy will, with a gracious hunger and thirst for the truth, as it is in Jesus. And may there be yet, Lord, many established in the truth and made steadfast and unmovable. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt bless the dear children and remember them. And may they in early days be in possession of thy grace and fear, be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions, and granted an aching void which the world can never fill. We pray, dear Lord, for the young men and maidens, that thou wilt be with them and help them to seek thee in all things, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For thou hast promised, and thee all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, do hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring. Remember those, Lord, that are tried and tempted. Oh, do cast out Satan and set at liberty thy people. Those in bondage, may they be loosed and let go. Those, Lord, that feel to be at the ends of the earth, do help them, Lord, to look to thee. For thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Remember those that have crooked and strange things to walk through. We pray thou wilt fulfil thy sweet promise, that thou didst say, I will go before thee and make thee crooked things straight, and the rough places plain. And Lord, the power's thine. And we beg of thee for thee to work mightily and add to the church here such as should be saved, and to our own flock at home and to Zion. And oh, that there may be yet the sound of an abundance of rain, a turning of the captivity of thy people, and that there may be yet a time of sweet rejoicing from the presence of the Lord. And O Lord, do help us to pray one for another and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And may thy Spirit continually rule in us, Lord, reign in us, and keep us from our own spirit and the spirit of man and of the flesh. But may we have the Spirit of Christ in our souls. And oh, do help us to pray for thy servants, that thou art bless their labours and crown thy gospel through them with success. Remember those that are bereaved and the bereaved churches, Lord. We pray for that heavenly comfort to be sent down. For thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And O Lord, we would pray for Zion still while life and breath remain. May there yet be a time of the turning of the captivity of thy people as the streams in the south. There may be yet better days throughout the churches. And we pray for a heart to praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. Those mercies of grace, that how great they are. That we're not in a deserved hell, and that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And oh, do help us to crown thee, Lord of all, for all the mercies of grace and of providence, and all thy goodness to us, unworthy as we are. Thou knowest, Lord, how unworthy we feel of thy favours. But oh, we would love and praise thee more. Remember the nations of the earth, especially where wars and troubles prevail. We beg for thy appearing for those that are oppressed and persecuted, and those, Lord, that are displaced in those conflicts abroad. We pray thou wilt speak through these things, that many may be brought to look to thee and to flee the wrath to come. And, O Lord, do remember this guilty nation. Hear the prayers that are put up for thy appearing. And may we yet see in this land a real turning to the Lord. We would pray, Lord, turn us and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. And now, O Lord, we would not multiply words. We seek that divine help as we turn to thy word. Thou wilt give us that strength and help for this hour. For without thee, we can do nothing. Grant a true spirit of healing. May thy word enter into the hearts of thy people. May they lose sight of this poor man and see no man save Jesus only, and hear his still small voice. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Forgive what we've uttered amiss and all our many sins and transgressions. We would ask it in that all-prevailing name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 837. Repent, awaken, souls repent. Hear the good tidings God has sent of sinners saved and sins forgiven and beggars raised to reign in heaven. Hymn 837.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. The book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed the Lord, and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The book of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Well, remember this morning we looked a little of the great need of having a right spirit. Often think of what the late Mr. Sperling Tyler said once. He said, friends, we come into the sanctuary, but what spirit do we come in with? And you see, the Lord saw as these 12 went into the land of Canaan, what spirit was in them. And we have solemnly recorded in these chapters the evil spirit there was in 10. But what a blessed spirit there was found in Joshua and Caleb. And here the Lord records, and it's a record made in heaven, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. I just want to tarry a moment upon this before we go further. And I want to lead you to Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi. What a blessed spirit, you know, they had in that prison. Left to themselves, they could have been very rebellious because they were there. And in the chains they were in and being beaten. But what spirit prevailed in them? The Spirit of Christ. They were found in the spirit of real fervent prayer. And they were found too in the spirit of sweet submission to the Lord's will while they were there. Completely another spirit than what those had that put them in there. They had the spirit of hardness and rebelliousness, not only against Paul and Silas, but against the Lord. And what a solemn thing, you know, if we have a spirit of rebelliousness against the Lord's dealings with us. But what a blessed thing when we have the spirit of submission. And it was found there in that jail in Philippi. They were submissive. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the Lord heard them. But then we think too of the dear Lord Jesus, who is the really the best and most beautiful illustration of what was found in Caleb. Look at the submission that was given to the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane, the submission to his Father's will. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And oh, that spirit of sweet submission, you know, it's something I long to know more and more of. I hope we know a little of it. But oh, to have it more and more given to us. Another spirit. It's not in our old nature, is it? It's not in man, generally. But oh, the sweet submission to the Lord's will. And then at Calvary, he prayed, didn't he, the dear Redeemer, concerning those, he said, that so hung him upon, and I speak it with much reverence, upon Calvary's tree. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you know, there are times when the Lord's people meet with much opposition from sinner and from saint, but are to be given that submission to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But Caleb here was blessed with this other spirit. And it was the spirit that was given by the Lord. He hadn't manufactured it. No man had given it to him. The Lord had given it to him. And this is what made the difference between Caleb and Joshua and the other ten. In Caleb and Joshua was this blessed spirit that desired to bring back the report that God would have them bring back, and not what they thought. You see, the ten, as we hinted at this morning, brought back what they thought. They just looked at the land from a natural viewpoint, and they looked no further, because they were still in nature's darkness, full of unbelief. But how different the report by Caleb and Joshua, wasn't it, as we looked at this morning. But I want to come to this second point that's in the text. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Many profess to be followers of the Lord. But the real child of God will ever desire to follow the Lord fully. Not partly. Not half-heartedly. Fully. We read later on in the book of Joshua, I think it is, where we read concerning these two dear men that they wholly followed the Lord. It was not partly or half-heartedly, they followed him wholly and fully. Now, let us look at this following. And I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. First of all, go to Mount Carmel. And there Elijah put the people to the test. And you know, we need putting to the test from time to time. We need putting to the test to see what sort of spirit there is in us. We need putting to the test whether we are real followers of the Lord Jesus, or only in the letter or in the name. Now, dear Elijah, put the people to the test. Why halt ye between two opinions? Here, you see, there were the two opinions of the land. There was the opinion of the ten that brought back the evil report. But there was too the gracious opinion of Caleb and Joshua, as we read of this morning. Why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But you see, there were many that were following Baal, weren't there? There were many here that were following their own thoughts of the land and their interpretation of it. But there were those in Elijah's day that were real followers of the Lord. Now, where do you and where do I stand in this? Are we just professing we do in an outward way? Or do our steps and our walk out this following? And like Caleb, following the Lord fully. Well, the first thing we would say is this. How do we follow? Do we follow the Lord closely? Or do we follow afar off? Now, left to ourselves, we've no stones to cast at Peter, because Peter followed the Lord afar off. And yet he was a real follower of the Lord. But left for a moment, he was following the Lord afar off. And we do, don't we? There are times we don't follow the Lord very closely. But may it exercise each of our souls that we might follow very close to the Lord. It's like a little child, you know, that will follow its mother around the kitchen and different things she does. It's drawn to her. It's very close to her. It follows her. And you know, if we really love the Lord, we shall follow him very closely. And we shall desire to. But then, there's this searching point. If the Lord is going before us, we need to keep him in view. You see, we read in this lesson this evening of the Lord going before the people and of him being with them. And the Lord was in that pillar of the cloud that stood over them and goeth before them day by day in a pillar of the cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. But they had to watch and keep their eyes on that cloud. They mustn't be far from it. Why? Because the Lord was in it. And for him, and Caleb and Joshua, you see, they kept ever so close to the Lord. You know, when Ruth clave to Naomi, Naomi was a beautiful type of the Church of God. And she kept ever so close to Naomi, Ruth did. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And she followed very close to Naomi. But you see, she clave close to her. And what a blessed thing if we are cleaving close to the Lord, and if we are close to him, we will cleave close to his dear people. Very close to them. And then we shall cleave very close and following the Lord to his word. If we start to deviate from the word of God, we are getting away from the Lord. We're not following closely. But the point I wanted to make was this. Keeping the Lord in view. Just as they had to keep that cloudy pillar in view. And for them to keep it in view, they must be close. You see, it's like if you are going along a road and you don't know where. I've had it over the years in going to fresh chapels, and the deacons have said, well, you follow me. Well, if you're going to follow them, you have to keep them in view. And you know, I think of it tonight. Are you keeping the Lord in view? Am I? Well, the Lord's the witness. Think of what the dear hymn writer said. Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. That's a beautiful couplet, that is, you know. Always. He didn't say, well, sometimes, or when we think we should. Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. And that's where Caleb and Joshua were different than the ten. They had singleness of eye, the eye of faith, to keep the Lord in view. The Lord went before them in the land, and he revealed to them the beauties there were in it. And they looked above all the giants. They looked above the walled cities, because they believed the Lord would overcome all those for them. To him that overcometh. Well, you cannot yourself, can you? You may be surrounded with trouble and sorrow and distress today. How can we overcome, Lord? We cannot ourselves. But through him, his dear people will overcome, because he has overcome for them. Oh, to keep the Lord in view. You know, we need that singleness of eye, don't we? Not be distracted one side or the other. Keeping him in view. And then you'll follow him fully also. But then, oh, there are times you'll say, oh, but we cannot see our way. The way seems hedged up. The path seems difficult. The enemies are great. The fears arise in us. We are beset with dangers on every side. How can we follow the Lord? Well, poor soul, you have to follow him by faith. A venturing forward by faith. I said earlier that venturing faith is the strongest faith. And that's how Caleb and Joshua went into the land. Venturing upon the Lord. Venture on him, venture wholly. Not try and do it yourself. Or lean on your own understanding. But venturing upon the Lord. So often I say that regarding each sermon, that I venture upon him, it's sink or swim. And that's how you'll be, poor soul. In seeking to follow the Lord fully, venturing upon him, leaning upon him, like the spouse in the Song of Solomon, leaning upon her beloved, venturing upon him, knowing that if he fails you, you'll finish, but he won't fail, poor soul. And nor will the Christian's hope fail, because the Lord has given it to them. He will never fail. They think of Joshua, you know, when he went forth to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The Lord promised him that beautiful promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee. And he won't fail his dear people. Those that lean hard upon him ought to be following the Lord, leaning hard upon him. You know, left for a moment, we're leaning to our own understanding, aren't we? You see, those in the ten that went into the land, they leaned on their own understanding. And that's why their report failed. Because it was only them. It was not of the Lord. And look how solemnly he said he would deal with them. And it's been a solemn lesson to me since this word has rested upon us. The Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than thy. Now this is what the Lord spoke two ways, you see. Against those that brought back the evil report, but blessedly concerning Caleb and Joshua. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. But then, there's a following of the Lord in the sacred ordinances of his house, following the Lord fully. I often look back to some years ago now, but I was favoured to take a baptising at Hope Stopfold, and I preach from this text, and the dear young man that I baptised there on that day, you know, the Lord brought him to the place to follow the Lord fully in his sacred ordinances. And oh, that it may be so in this dark and solemn day, those willing, like Caleb and Joshua, to show the world whom they love and whom they serve, to be able to declare what he has done and follow the Lord fully. You think on the day of Pentecost, how they were brought to that sacred spot where they gladly received the word. It entered right into their inmost heart. As Peter preached to them a precious Jesus. And what effect did it have? Then they that gladly received his word, and it was received in an honest heart, and it was received by faith, and they believed what they heard. And they followed the Lord fully, declaring what great things he hath done for them. And they got something to declare, and how he brought them to repentance before God over their many sins. And they were brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. And hath followed me fully. If nothing this evening or today, may this word enter into each of our hearts. Could it be said by the Lord concerning us that we have followed the Lord fully? Not half-heartedly, or just when we thought we would, or just in the letter of it, but walking it out in the experience, following the Lord fully. Just stepping back to following the Lord very closely, we think of dear John. You know, if ever a man followed the Lord fully and very closely, he did. The dear man knew what it was to lean on the Lord's breast. He lived ever so close to the dear Redeemer. And you read the epistles of John. And in those sacred epistles, love reigns throughout them. Love to the dear Redeemer. Love to his sufferings, his death, his glorious resurrection. And dear John knew what it was to follow the Lord in them all. But that brings me to another point. You see, that spirit of love dwelt in him. And the spirit of love dwelt in Caleb and Joshua as they went into the land. Love to the Lord, love to what he had brought them into, love to his ways, love to his commandments, They were obedient. Can you say tonight, or do you desire to say tonight, and do I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Oh, can we truly say, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In other words, follow the Lord fully. But what I was going to name was this. There's a following of the Lord Jesus in his sufferings and agonies. Now, I know our old nature would immediately shrink from that, put it from us. Oh, Lord, we cannot go that way. But, you know, I believe, and I want to look at it in two ways. The Lord will bring his dear people and make them willing to follow him in his sufferings and in his agonies. And to follow him fully. You think of the dear disciples in John 14 and that last clause in that beautiful chapter. Jesus said to them, arise, let us go hence. Beautiful words they are, you know. Arise, let us go hence. And that meant, in measure, the dear disciples had got to follow the Lord in those sacred sufferings that he was to endure, in measure, only in measure. They could never endure it, and nor could you and I what he endured. But in measure, they got to go with him. Oh, they had. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, they couldn't endure with him 1 hour, could they? But oh, they were led into it. And why I say in two ways. First of all, they were to be led into it. But then they were, and to follow him in it. But they were to be led into it in another way, by faith. And the child of God in 2016 will be led to follow the Lord in those sacred sufferings. And what a melt your heart and what a mine in it. It will be, if I know anything of it at all, when the Lord gives you a glimpse of what those sufferings were and that he suffered, bled and died for you. I love the couplet of the hymn where the dear hymn writer said, had I a glance of thee, my God. Oh, to have a little glimpse by faith of those pierced hands which Thomas was favoured to see, his pierced side. And what effect did it have upon Thomas? It swept away, first of all the unbelief that was in it. But secondly, it melted his heart. And he could truly say, my Lord and my God. Oh, to follow the Lord fully in his sufferings, to be led by faith into the Garden of Gethsemane. And when is it often the Lord does it? Well, if I know anything about it at all, it's when the Lord leads us into sufferings. It may be he'll lead you into his sufferings in a bed of affliction. It may be he'll lead you into his sufferings in a path of persecution. It may be he'll lead you into his sufferings in a path of opposition and trial and bitter temptation. Remember, the Saviour was tried and tempted too. Oh, to follow the Lord fully entering into those temptations and see the great temptations the dear Redeemer endured. I've often thought about it, you know, we get ever so tried and troubled if we're tempted for a few hours, or maybe a day or two. 40 days and 40 nights the dear Redeemer endured it. And then I remember walking through a very severe trial, both in my soul and in the pathway. And I should never forget the Lord breathing those precious words into my soul. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And you know, it just melted my heart to view what he endured. Oh, to have a glimpse. It'll break the hardest marble of your heart and mine. Oh, it will. It'll melt the stony heart. But oh, to follow him fully in those sufferings and agonies. And especially when he gives you a glimpse, poor soul, it was for your sin that he endured such great agonies to redeem your poor soul and mine. Oh, may we have the reality of this brought home to our souls, that it was for crime that I have done. He suffered, bled and died. Or us ask the question, was it for crimes? But oh, what a mercy if we can say, it was for crimes that I have done. He suffered, bled and died. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. There was no doubt about this with Caleb. And hath followed me fully. Could it be said of you and of me that we have followed him fully? Well, the Lord's the witness. The answer will come from your soul and mine to the Lord. It's not my word. This is what the Lord recorded concerning dear Caleb. And oh, may it be said concerning us in some little measure that we have followed the Lord fully. And then, of course, there's a following of the Lord fully in obeying what he commands us. Not just concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, it can be a command to the offices in the church. You know, when the Lord first laid the exercise of the ministry on me, it was even before I was called by grace, he put the work of the ministry before me in this sense, that I sat in Stapeless Chapel in the gallery, and the dear old pastor went up in the pulpit on one occasion, and as he went in the pulpit, it was just as though the Lord stood by me. He said, "Now the day will come when you will stand there." And you know, I put it from me for years. When the Lord started to work in me and deepen his work, I knew what was going to come. And oh, to follow him, you see, to minister in holy things as a servant of the of God. I remember when I first went to ministry, you know, and the old preachers, he said to me, "Now, my boy, you've got a good master, you obey him and do what he tells you." And he said he never complains. You know, I've often thought about that, you know. Naturally, many of us have worked for masters and they complain maybe about this or about that. But you see, the Lord never complains. And I often think about that, you know. We come in ever so short, don't we? But you see, we know he reproves us. We know he corrects us. But you know, to have such a master. Now, Caleb had a good master here in the Lord, didn't he? So he says here, and hath followed me fully. And then this beautiful promise. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Now you will say immediately, oh, but we cannot begin to enter into heaven like they, because Canaan was a beautiful type of heaven. Canaan's happy, fertile land. But you see, it was so different than the wilderness they were travelling through, wasn't it? But you may say, well, we cannot begin to enter into heaven, so like they entered into Canaan. But you know, there is an entering in. If I understand this and know a little of it in one's own soul, to have a little glimpse by faith within the veil. A glimpse of Canaan's happy land. There is a land of pure delight, the dear hymn writer said, where saints immortal reign. And what I mean is this, a glimpse by faith. What must it be to be there? No more sin, no more sorrow. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You think of what a favour that is, you know. And often when a person sheds tears, there are those willing to wipe them from their eyes. But you think of it concerning the Lord himself, wiping away the tears of his dear people. Wiping away all their tears. What a prospect, isn't it? God shall wipe away. This is what he's told us. All tears from their eyes. You think of the many tears we shed here, both naturally and in our hearts, mourning over sin, mourning because of our unbelief. The many tears of sorrow. But then there shall be no more tears. No more sorrow. God shall wipe them all away. Dear Mr. Philpott said concerning heaven, there are two aspects of it. The first is to be with a precious Christ without a veil between. See him as he is. The apostle said, didn't he? We see as it were through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him without a veil between. You have sweet glimpses of the Lord here as you seek to follow the Lord fully, but then to see him without a veil between. And the second aspect is to be freed from all sin. And if we're freed from all sin, as I intimated just now, there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more weeping, no more sorrow. He says, and may the Lord apply it to our souls tonight. Him will I bring, the Lord will bring you. You won't bring yourself. Into the land whereinto he went. We think of our late beloved friend and Lord's servant, Mr. Jempson, you see. It was the Lord brought him home to glory. He'll bring you and me if we're among these in the text. Home to be with him. You see, when the world die, they're leaving home. This earth is their home. They got nothing else. But with the child of God, Caleb and Joshua, may we be like them. We'll be going home. This is not our rest. Why? Because it's polluted. The hymn writer said, "My soul anticipates the day, would mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies." And the Lord set this prospect before Caleb and Joshua, you see, to enter into Canaan. And he has set the prospect of before every one of his dear people of entering into the heavenly Canaan, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. And then the wonderful promise to follow. And his seed shall possess it. May that be of sweet comfort to our souls, those of us that are blessed with seed, that they too will possess the land. But a word of warning. May we not take that to ourselves just because we've got seed. You see, the Lord spoke very solemnly here that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, even to the third and fourth generation. There would be those that would never be brought to know the Lord. But oh, may it be so with us here tonight and in our families, that we may see this word fulfilled and beg and wrestle with the Lord that it may be fulfilled. Not take it for granted. Or not lay it to in our own hearts and take it in presumption. And his seed. Now this was recorded concerning Joshua and may it be, concerning Caleb too. And may it be recorded concerning us and his seed. And it's something that you and I can plead for and wrestle with the Lord for, that he would fulfill exactly what he said in this word to our souls. Well, I've scratched around the surface. I shall have to leave it. May the Holy Spirit apply the text to us, if nothing I've rambled round today. And he will have all the praise, all the glory. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £745, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. 949.
do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy word to our never-dying souls. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do be with us each now as we separate. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.